episode 212 of Game Over Nation. I'm your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
I thought perhaps Javi had a stroke and
just started knocking shit over.
We're never going to actually start the podcast.
What actually happened is
there was
like
a really long pause.
I realized I had no idea what episode this was. So I was like, oh shit.
Star Wars one threw you off. Cause it was like, is that one 212? Is this one 212? Yeah, that one ain't numbered. We ain't in crunch time. That one ain't numbered. Right.
Yeah. Gabe Philbin's here.
Hello. I'm really tired.
And Dylan Roush is out sick.
Sick. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's using some of that PTO.
You want? It doesn't roll over into the next year.
No.
Yeah. We don't
yeah,
let you
sure
carry it
you're
over.
Sick. Yeah. A couple days before New Year's.
So
how convenient.
Yeah.
So I'm real tired because I sat in a theater today for what felt like, I don't know, 4 hours. It was really only three.
4 days.
Because I went and saw The Hateful Eight in like 70mm at the AMC at Pacific Place. And man, that movie's not great.
Uh-oh.
No, it's
but
so
it's
long.
It's Tarantino.
After
you
the
have
movie,
to like it. It's Tarantino.
After the movie ended, I was like, getting on the escalator, leave the the theater, and somebody behind me was talking to their friend and said, it's an okay Tarantino movie, which means it's an amazing anyone else movie. And I just wanted to look at him dead in the eye and just do a dissatisfied jerk off motion with my hand. I didn't because, you know, a public appearance is important. But Jesus Christ.
Maybe a lot of people would have agreed with you, and then you would have just had a chorus of people making the jack-off motions at this one dude.
Missed opportunity.
Everyone on the escalator just turns
yeah,
around
just
in unison.
Making a jerk-off motion at this asshole. Oh, really?
God.
Oh, really, guy?
We'll never know if that would have happened now. I'm sorry. Yeah, but shit. I talked with Harris a bit about it today because he wasn't a huge fan either. And he said there are a few awkward moments in that movie because the premise is there's this woman who Kurt Russell is trying to turn in for a bounty, and she gets hit a lot in this movie, and Harris and I were talking, there are awkward parts where she just gets elbowed right in the face, and then everyone in the theater laughs, and it's that's not a funny hit. That wasn't framed as comedy.
It wasn't slapstick.
Yeah, it's why are you guys laughing? This is weird. So really, the movie's just a social experiment. It's actually amazing. So
interesting.
Shows you who the terrible people are.
I'll have you know, it's certified fresh, sitting at a 76.
I'm pretty sure Phantom Menace is around there too. So. Actually, no, I think that's Crystal Skull. I think Phantom Menace is more around 60.
You know, those prequels, they're exceptionally bad. I have a hard time naming a movie that's worse.
But the weird thing is, so after this Star Wars movie came out, I feel like I've seen more and more people talk about how the third one is okay, kind of good, and how they're they're not that bad. It's do you not remember? What are you talking
remember
about?
When Padme dies of a broken heart? Or she's lost the will to live? All right.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
But that Star Wars movie came out, and Ryan and Tyroot and Harris Foster did a little spoiler cast on it.
I wanted
to be on there, but I couldn't make it.
We did it around.
I have so many hot takes about Star Wars, guys.
We did it around my kitchen table too, so we were all in person.
It's probably better.
Yeah, it was good.
It would have been you three talking, and then me trying to get in points occasionally, and then just shut
down.
Oh,
is Gabe still here? Oh, a beer bottle exploded in the middle of it. Yeah, that was. Harris looks at me. He goes and he quietly gets up, goes to the fridge, and grabs something. And he comes and sits back down, and he points at it, and he's like does a questioning thumbs up, and I nodded at him, And I couldn't tell. Like, it was kind of dim in my dining room, so I couldn't see what color the cap was. And he pops it open, and he takes a drink, and it just foam just everywhere comes out. And I was like, oh, shit. And so I paused the podcast, and there's fucking beer everywhere.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, shit. I thought it was a different color cap. My bad, dude. had I known it was that one, I probably would have told you not to bother.
At least it wasn't soy sauce.
This is true. Did you spill soy sauce all over yourself?
No, but like you couldn't tell. You're just saying you couldn't tell what it was. He's just pointing at it, thumbs up.
It's just, well, I knew it was beer. Yeah, okay. I was aware it was that. Oh no, that's the mayonnaise. Oh.
He's like, it's really interesting. I like it.
This is really, it's really thick. This color's weird.
It's yeah. Exotic beer.
Mm hmm.
Yeah. But so Hateful Eight sucks, huh?
It's not. It's fuck, man. It's disappointing.
Is it terrible?
Did you hate it?
Man, it's just it like really left me bummed because I walked out of that theater so goddamn tired. It's just so exhausting.
Yeah,
there's a goddamn intermission in this movie.
Like that made me laugh.
Maybe if you need to put an intermission in a movie, maybe it's too long.
You know what movie
maybe
I like?
Some cuts.
Gandhi?
Django.
Gandhi has an intermission.
Django!
Django don't.
No.
But Django, the movie much more revolved around slavery. I gotta say, this movie out-N-words it maybe 10 to 1.
Oh. All right.
So, that's the thing. Hot takes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like looking at a really close up picture of Raz from Psychonauts 2, and it's freaking me out, man.
What'd you get for Christmas, Gabe?
I don't know, actually. Not a lot.
I have no idea. I opened boxes and there was just
I actually did open a box and there was nothing in it.
Incomprehensible things in there.
My family doesn't really do much for Christmas these days. We just kinda like hang out, and my mom gave me like a box and I opened it and there's just a sheet of paper inside that said, there's nothing in here, but maybe there will be one day. Just, we'll wait until you move in and we'll get you something.
Oh.
So they'll get me like a housewarming present once I'm there.
When you move in where?
I'm getting a house with Surgeon Dow.
That's right.
When I'm actually moving is a question that I wish I had an answer to. But I don't. So that's an exciting chapter in my life that is painfully close and dreadfully unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other than that, Christmas, I got stuck in Chicago for a day. That was fun. Exciting.
Yeah.
It wasn't exciting. It was the worst. It was so gross. Seattle gets all this shit for like being all wet and stuff. And Chicago is like wetter and colder.
Yeah.
Not that anyone's out there like defending weather in Chicago, but I feel like Seattle gets a lot more shit talk than Chicago does.
Well, because I think it's expected there, especially like it's expected to be super cold and snowy there.
And windy.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Super windy.
Geez, the plane
they call
from
it
Chicago.
The windy town.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. The plane ride from Chicago to Seattle is actually like so bumpy that there are multiple times that the pilot just like got on the loudspeaker and said, just so everyone knows, you know, we're not actually in any danger. It might feel like it, but the plane is designed to handle this.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, I've never heard any pilot say that before.
It's gonna get a little bumpy up here.
We're missing a wing, but don't worry, planes are really designed just for one, so we'll be fine.
We like redundancy, so we It's a factor of safety
yeah.
To have two wings. So we're good with one.
The right wings just for show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But away from Christmas where I didn't really play any games because I just had my little iPhone with me, I've just been playing a lot of Bloodborne again because, damn, that game gets me.
On your phone?
No, not on my phone. Oh. When I was away from Florida.
Oh, okay.
It's like I got home and started playing more of that, and I like beat the DLC again on another character. I finally got through all the bosses on my main character. and I like started going through just like the regular ass Bloodborne again on the main character. And it's like, just, I don't know. That game just has like the right details to just like click with me of just like looking at a, like, just, I don't know, like identifying something on a wall as not being like what it originally appeared to be. Like, there are some lights in that games that are like, they're not like lit up by candles. Like in the DLC, there's some lights that are just slugs on fire. It's cool. That game's just gross and cool. I like it a lot. I like Bloodborne a lot, guys. It's really good. Did you ever beat Bloodborne, Ryan?
No.
No?
I picked it up and played a little bit more one day, but then I stopped and played something else. And then, like, I always, like, I often think about it. I'm like, I should go play some more of that. And then I don't.
Yeah. But in addition to that, I don't think there's been anything too crazy going on other than I started The Witcher 3 last night and then played more of it. Played like an hour and a half of it today, maybe. And I'm worried because I really feel like it's going to be another Dragon Age Inquisition situation where that is all I do for a month. Is just play this fucking game.
You know, it's really funny that you made that comparison. Because yesterday I had a conversation with Rachel where I was like, yeah, everybody fucking loves The Witcher. And we were watching a Game of the Year thing. And they're like, The Witcher 3, hands down, what an amazing game. And they're going on and on and on. And I'm like, I look at Rachel, I'm like, this reminds me, you know, of Dragon Age. We're like, everyone loves this game, and internally I'm like, well, I don't really like fantasy stuff, but if it's that good, I should play it. And then that's exactly how I feel right now, and that's exactly how I felt a year ago. And I bought Dragon Age and I tried to play it, and I'm like, man, I do not care. It's funny that you just said the same thing.
Yeah, except I had the same problem with Dragon Age. Yeah,
yeah. So But Gabe went hard into Dragon Age.
Yeah, that was.
And I'm sure you'll. I'm sure you'll do that again with The Witcher. I'm sure you.
I hope not.
Like, what?
I don't wanna.
Why'd you buy it?
It was only $25.
You know, I love when a game hooks me so hard that I play it all day and I spend countless hours. Like, that's what I look for. That's what I hope for. And
see, I'm not like holding that against the game. Like, I don't think that's like a bad thing.
I think you are.
I have to move. And I don't want to forget about moving because I'm playing The Witcher.
I don't think that will happen.
I think you'll remember that I have to go to another place.
You guys don't know. You can't guarantee this. Yeah.
Well, at least you'll have The Witcher to keep you warm.
The only thing that I really, really don't like about that game is just Geralt still... think he looks dumb.
Yep.
Don't like his voice.
Yeah, he's the one thing that's stopping me from playing. It's like, well, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. It's like you play as Ciri a little bit, like his apprentice kind of deal, like a bit in that game, apparently. And I just saw an article today about like a PC mod that came out to let you play as pretty much just like reskin Geralt to... what are their names? Like Yennefer, and there's another lady that's not Ciri that I can't remember her name.
That's a dumb name.
Yennefer.
Yeah. There's a girl who works at the Best Buy near my house, and her name tag says Jessica. And I thought that was a dumb name, too.
Well, would you rather it be Noica?
I mean, Nausicaa.
Nausicaa. But what I like about The Witcher, just kind of away from like the actual game itself, is just kind of the rise of the franchise. Of like, the first game was very much like a word of mouth situation. Of, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of like Demon's Souls, where like no one knew what the hell the game was until like a few people like finally like sunk a lot of time into it and started like praising it. And then Witcher 2, like, I remember the trailer for it got released, or, like, quote-unquote leaked when, CD Projekt was essentially just, like, looking for a publisher for it because they wanted to keep making that game. And then that game was, like, more successful than Witcher 1, and then it sounds like this game is doing like gangbusters. So it's just like a cool rise in popularity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how?
And how? See, I'll probably play that more after we're done here, after business has been taken care of.
Yeah.
So, of the things I've done or I've talked about this week, one thing would make Dylan happy, and then I'm finally playing The Witcher, and one thing would make him sad, and that The Hateful Eight is not good. It's not going to stop him from seeing it. It's Dylan, he doesn't care what I say.
He does what he wants.
Yeah. Maybe he'll. I hope he likes The Hateful Eight. I hope he does what I cannot do. So, pretty sure that's my stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan?
Well, I guess since last time we recorded, I went to West Virginia, and then I came back, and I recorded a Star Wars podcast, and then we had Christmas, and I haven't had time to play any games. I've been sitting here intending to go play more Fallout 4, because I've gotten pretty deep into that. I've really liked it, and I keep wanting to go and sit down and play it, and then things just keep coming up. The holidays are always freaking busy, always a lot of crap going on. But I'm not working the rest of the week, so I'm hoping that I'll have some time. And I kind of want to go get Tomb Raider
and I've just been wanting at least to play some of that. Too. I feel like I missed so much this year.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I did play about 20 minutes of Taco Master on the Vita.
Ooh, tell me about that.
It is a game where you make tacos, and then it kind of reminds me of a simpler Cook Serve Delicious.
Mm.
You talking about the holiday breaks reminding me of the person who sat next to me at Hateful Eight, where he just like looked at, because it was pretty packed, and he just like said to me, "Don't these people have jobs? It's a Tuesday.
Yeah,
it's 11 a.m. on a Tuesday."
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, with it being the break and all, yeah. There, I went and saw Star Wars again on Saturday with my dad, or I guess Sunday. It was a 1:30 showing. It wasn't too crowded. There was enough room to where no one had to sit next to strangers kind of deal.
Cinerama here is still sold out.
Really?
I think the next available showing is like the 3rd.
Jeez.
Why don't you go to Regal or whatever?
Who, me? Yeah. I mean, I can. I'll do something.
Cinerama, of course, it's sold out. It's only one theater.
A weird thing happened in the beginning of Hateful Eight, though, is that it started by showing the Cinerama logo.
Oh.
So it's like, did they plan for this to go to Cinerama? But Cinerama's just like, fuck you guys, we're showing The Force Awakens. We're not showing your 3-hour movie.
Weird. I don't know. I haven't. It's been pretty quiet around here, other than my
exploding beer bottles.
Yeah, exploding beer bottles. Trip to West Virginia. I got to hang out with Ty, so that was kind of nice. Apparently, I live in the same neighborhood he grew up in, so that was kind of weird. He's like, I'm driving over here. It felt like I was going over to my friend's house when I was in high school. So that was kind of. He's like, I had no idea you lived in this neighborhood. Yep. I don't know. That's really all that's going on in De La Rosa land. Not much game wise.
All right.
I saw an episode of Nick Cannon's Wild and Out this morning.
I'm so sorry.
I love that show.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it's not good.
I didn't know it was a thing. I've watched that show so much when I was young. I don't know why.
How old is the show?
I think like 06.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 06. It's like MTV2 era.
It was basically MTV's answer to Whose Line Is It Anyway? Basically, Whose Line Is It Anyway for the urban youth, I guess, or something. There was a whole segment where guys went...
Nick Cannon is so fly, and then the whole crowd goes, "How fly is he?" And then they try to make a joke. And it was real dumb.
Oh, man.
it was real dumb.
Yeah. They used to have... one of the regulars was that dude with the long straight hair, Cat something, Cat Stevens? Oh, no, not Cat Stevens.
Cat Williams.
Cat Williams? Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy.
That's the first time I saw him.
Yeah.
Swaggy P was on this episode.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I think he's a rapsman.
Mm.
Some sort of lyricist. Yeah, I think he's a rapper.
Swaggy P.
Yeah.
Is that show still going
on?
No,
no, no.
What kind of run did it have?
I think it was like 2 or 3 years.
Honestly. Rated 8.7 out of 10 on TV.com.
Damn. Well, now.
That's a pretty good rating.
Season 4 seasons. Way to go. Way to, good for you, Nick
Cannon. When was the last season?
07, I bet.
It says season 5 current.
What?
See, that's what I was thinking. This Swaggy P guy, I thought, was like a current star.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
Yeah, this show's still on the air.
Shut up.
Wow. So
it's
maybe
on season 7.
Wow.
Nick Cannon's maybe not on there, is he?
Yep.
I thought Nick Cannon was in charge of America's Got Talent.
Well, I just control F Swaggy P on the Wikipedia page and nothing came up. So, your story's getting a little.
Well, I mean, he could have been last season.
I just control F the whole entirety of it.
The whole entirety of the show.
Yeah, at no point has a man named Swaggy P.
You're wrong, because I saw it today with my own eyes.
He might just be like a guy on the show, not like a host. We're getting too much into
on IMDb.
Oh yeah,
Nick Cannon presents Wild and Out on season 5, episode 11.
Swaggy P, man.
Oh, that's what he's a basketball player. That's what it was. Yeah, he's a basketball player.
Nick Cannon.
This has been your Wild and Out minute.
Nick Cannon was the executive producer and appeared on the show from 2005 to 2007. There you go.
Damn.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Anyways.
So what you been doing,
Christmas, came around, and
Christmas came early.
The lovely family, the Grays, gave me many a PlayStation Network gift card or whatever. I ended up with $100 of PlayStation money.
Damn.
Yeah, and so I got home. I put it all in there, and I was like, well, let's be honest. If there's anything that I wanted, I probably own it. And so I'm like looking through the PlayStation store. I'm like, it's a giving time of the year. And I like to play things that I wouldn't otherwise play. So I go into the indie section and I'm like, I'm going to buy every indie game up to $100 that like looks interesting to me. And so I just ended up
$13
with
later.
No, actually, I got a lot. I think I got like maybe 10, around nice. 10 games. Yeah. And I also threw in the Final Fantasy VII re-release because why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the games was one that I mentioned a long, long time ago on the show. It was still like in production. I didn't know the name of it, but I was like, oh man, it's like really sleek, like Metal Gear clone. And then I ended up downloading it as one of those games this weekend, which is a lucky accident. But yeah, it's Volume. It's called Volume, and it's from the maker of Thomas Was Alone, and it is really, really cool. It's actually
I bought that yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I started playing it a little bit.
Cool. Yeah, what I didn't expect is that it's kind of like a weird retelling of Robin Hood. Because your character's name is Rob Loxley, and the AI that's talking to him is another character from Robin Hood. And instead of being an actual thief, what's going on is that it's, again, another link to Metal Gear. It's basically a VR simulation of a real place. And so that justifies the whole game mechanic of getting caught and then starting over and getting caught and starting over, like, because it's not real. So what he's doing is he's figuring out how to break into all these places and steal something, And then he's putting that online on the internet so that people can actually go out and do it themselves. But he's only stealing from like bad people. So like you get to see in the, before you start a mission, it tells you a short description of who you're stealing from or where you're breaking into. And some of them are like, the AI is just like, yeah, let's take a break. Let's have some fun. And so like the mission is just completely made up and has some cool gadgets and stuff in it. So yeah, volume's very good. I highly recommend it, especially if you enjoyed the original Metal Gear Solid. Otherwise, like, I haven't really gotten my hands, or I haven't played too many other of the indie games that I've gotten yet. I did start Murdered Soul Suspect. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. It's.
Isn't it? Do you play as a ghost? Is that what?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're a detective that has been murdered.
Dead the whole time.
No, the game starts with you getting thrown out a window, and then the killer comes down and just puts a bunch of bullets into you to make sure you're dead. And you're that guy's ghost, and you're trying to figure out who the killer was and what his motivation was. And along the way, you run into other ghosts that are either they're confused about what the hell's happening, they're not sure they're ghosts, or they know they're ghosts, but there's something that needs to, like, something about their death that needs to be solved, and so you can help them out along the way. And like the first one you find is like this lady, you're in this apartment complex and there's some lady sitting in the boiler room, and she's like, I know that the old couple down the hall killed me, but I don't know where my body is. I just need to find my body. That's all I care about. And so you're like phasing through all the walls in this apartment complex, and you're like listening to the old couple that are still there and just chatting with each other, but you can like influence what people think. And so like I'm trying to, you possess people and then you try to like steer them into like telling you what you want to hear or what you need to know. And so so it's kind of cool. You end up like figuring out where her body is and you can tell her, and then she moves on, and like that's that little story wrapped up. There's not a lot of gameplay really, as far as like there's no action. There's some terrible like demons that walk around the corridors and you have to sneak up on them and then do some what's it called, quick time events to kill it. But like other than that, the whole game is about finding clues and solving things and talking to the right people and stuff, so, and collecting stuff. And it's a really chill game, and it looks cool. I think I really like the art direction, so I don't know. It's not for everyone. I understand why it wasn't rated so well, but I'm having a good time with it so far. But other than that, I haven't really been playing anything. I played a little bit of that Final Fantasy remake, and it has some cool features, and they made the game look really nice. It's worth it if you like Final Fantasy VII.
You started Bloodborne again. Did you play any more of that playthrough?
I think
you played a little bit when I was over at your place.
Right. Like I just got to Geralt, like, what's his name?
Gascoigne or Cleric Beast. Like you were really early on.
Yeah, yeah. No, I haven't gotten back into that. I've been working on my other project. Shh. I think I've probably said it out loud on the show many times.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? But
yeah, but that's what I've been up to.
Right, cool
news.
Right now, Sports Pickle is just retweeting a bunch of tweets from 2013 about how Chip Kelly was going to win a bunch of Super Bowls, and it's pretty funny.
I don't know who that is.
It's a guy that just got fired.
Just got fired from Philadelphia.
Oh no,
for being a bad head coach.
Yeah,
and losing a lot. Yeah. So, well, news stuff. Probably the biggest thing since we last recorded is Kojima is
growing a Konami. Beard. I mean, oh.
Kojima is no longer still working at Konami. He's just on vacation. He is gone from Konami now. And his non-compete clause is over surprisingly quick.
Yeah.
And he and Andrew House had a little video, and Andrew House just looked like the most delighted Sony exec in saying that Sony and Kojima are working on something. What they are doing is unclear, but it sure is something. And I guess we can talk about what we think slash may want this to be. I think an easy answer is maybe just do Silent Hills. Just don't call it Silent Hills.
Hijack the PT name. Just call it PT.
You can't trademark two letters.
Yeah.
Just take it.
Or even if you can't call it PT, call it like Phantom Trance or something.
And like the logo has the P and the T real close together, kind of big.
The Phantom Taint.
Phantom Taint?
Yes.
So on his website, he is starting a new studio called Kojima Productions again, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
That name wasn't locked down, I guess, maybe, whatever. And the logo is very similar to MSF's original logo from Peace Walker.
Yeah. With how petty Konami has been, like, for the last year, it's incredible that they didn't, like, fight for that name.
Yeah, maybe he had something in his contract.
That and also I don't doubt that I bet there are like multiple things that could have gone down of like Konami wants to distance themselves from Kojima as much as possible and not be like the spotlight of terrible people in the games industry.
But they've done that. They've scorched the earth. Like,
and now they're like, oh, this earth is entirely burnt. Maybe we should back off.
We'll just walk away. Just walk away.
Yeah, but like,
it just doesn't exist
how
anymore.
Many Metal Gear games are out there and all of them say Kojima Productions on them? You know, like, if you look back, like, there's a whole lot of advertising for his new company. I'm just saying it might have been in their interest. I don't know, maybe not, but everybody already hates them, so at this point, like, I don't know if they should have given him that name.
There's no saving face.
Yeah.
So, but on his website, it talks about how, like, there's some weird cryptic language about how humans are, like, I don't know, they love to play, or, like, they don't, it's like they have to play. So, we're not Homo sapiens, we're Homo ludens, because that's Latin for play. And, I don't know, it's real dumb, and all there's like stars all over the website. It looks very cosmic. I don't know. It's fucking Kojima. Of course, it sounds dumb. Have you listened to anything this guy has written?
Yeah.
You know, it says the logo and everything on there. Everything on the site looks very Metal Gear. Like, I wonder, because I know that some of the staff followed him.
Yeah, it's a lot of his old timers.
Yeah, yeah. So
because especially given the Konami conditions, if this dude goes out and starts a studio, like,
yeah,
if I was one of them, I'd be like begging him to give me a job there.
Right. It's interesting.
I mean, if it's his own staff that he's worked with a while, I imagine he'd want some familiarity there.
Yeah. I mean, the guy that's done all the concept art, what the hell's his name? I usually know it, but anyways, he's been working with Kojima since Metal Gear Solid, and he was hired like right out of high school. So, like, yeah, I'm sure he's pretty loyal.
Mm.
Yeah.
But so, do you think, since like there's some like Metal Gear related stuff with this website, do you think it's gonna be like a Metal Gear-y game, or like, he's talked about how he is still down for working with Guillermo?
I don't think it's going to be Metal Gear-y. I think it's going to have that same Kojima aesthetic. Because, like, I went and played Zone of the Enders, and that game looks like Metal Gear Solid 2. Like, anywhere that it can, it looks like MGS2. So I think that's just part of his style. Which is interesting, because I don't imagine he's much of an artist, or that he models all that stuff, so maybe he's just really good at telling people what he wants to see. Or obviously it's the same team working on those things.
Oh, yeah, or once he set the aesthetic, he just said that.
Right.
And now, yes, no on David Hayter being in this game.
No. Definitely no. I'm going to go blow my nose. I'll be right back.
Go do that. I believe in you, champ.
He can do it.
Yeah, we're not going to hear about this thing for a while. Like, it's not coming out for
whatever he's making.
Yeah, like, it just started. Yeah. Unless he's been like baking up ideas at Konami over the last like half year. like maybe we see a teaser at E3, but I feel like that would be too soon.
Maybe that's why his non-compete was up so fast, because he's actually been unemployed from them for a long time, but just like, well, if I can't do anything, I might as well just hang out here. And they didn't announce it till like towards the end of the non-compete, so then he was just out of there and then able to do what he wanted.
Yeah.
All right, back.
Yay.
You're welcome. You're so missed.
That was weird. My like nose started getting really runny out of nowhere while I was talking, so I was like... Duh, duh,
duh. Well... other than Kojima, I think like the biggest like scare that happened is that whole Steam like payment info
on Christmas Day.
That was real weird.
So did payment info actually get leaked? Because
not leaked isn't the right word, but like
you had access to another person's account,
right? Which I saw that, like I saw somebody else's account when I logged in. But you couldn't have done anything or accessed anything. Like
so Steam's very like brief statement on, or Valve's very brief statement on the matter was like for like an hour things were like all borked, but nothing actually went through. Like no payment info was actually accessed. It's like
they can see the last four of your credit.
Yeah, card. Even when I look at my stuff, I don't see the full like credit card number or anything.
Yeah,
but. The weird thing was, like, I started, like, since Steam doesn't really have, like, a support Twitter or anything, there's, like, this fan-run, like, Steam database Twitter, and they were tweeting, like, if you go into Steam and change, like, all your info now, that is actually, like, so since there's more activity, there's, like, a higher chance that it actually gets, like, given to somebody else, so the best course of action is to just do nothing.
Right.
Awesome.
Which, it was just, that was a weird thing. Like, yeah. Steam's, like, normally secure. I know, like, a lot of accounts get messed with like, the game sharing and the trading system, but when it comes to, like, actual account security, you know, it seems pretty solid. And, like, payment info, I mean. Like, yeah, that was a weird message to get on Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Everything is fucked.
Yep.
And I've got a real bad memory, so the only other thing I can think of is that Uncharted 4 is delayed another month.
It sure is.
Until April. And I swear to God, if they delay it one more month, I'm gonna be... they're getting in my territory.
What?
It's your territory.
No, everybody needs to stay away from May.
Because Mirror's Edge?
Yep. Stay the fuck away from May, everybody else. Only one game's allowed to come out.
Mirror's Edge will get delayed again.
Yeah, if it happens, it happens. I did get through.
If Uncharted 4 and Mirror's Edge come out on the same day, you're gonna play Mirror's Edge. It's gonna be fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I want Mirror's Edge to do well.
Oh.
So don't go like jacking my sales, Uncharted.
Jacking your sales. See, now you're personally invested in how well it does.
Yeah, I got stocks, man.
Ah.
I don't actually have stocks. I don't know.
What about
stocks.
Bonds?
Ooh, you got me. I'm a bondsman. Big old bondsman. Mm-hmm. I actually started reading the new Mirror's Edge comic. I got through, four issues. Well, I got it at PAX, and I only read half of it. I read the half of the first issue, found out that the main bad guy's name is Dogen, thought that was really funny, and then forgot to keep reading.
Is that you, Dogen? Are you the bad guy?
You that big old mob boss in the new Mirror's Edge game?
I can see it.
Yeah, I'm thinking there are some things that I hope make it into the game in the like movement in like relation to movement. Like there's like drones and everything, since it's like super futuristic now instead of just like near future. And Faith like can't
is 100 years old.
Yes, and she can't, it being 100 years old, she can't, like, jump from this huge gap between buildings.
She's got bad hips.
But she grabs onto the drone and then, like, swings off the drone and lands on the other building. And I'm like, damn, I want to do that in the game. That'd be real cool. So, yeah, take advice from the comic there. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Gonna be drones conveniently hovering at in-between building level.
Yeah, you know, whatever it takes.
All right.
They're prototype designs. They're not full retail drones yet.
I see.
I don't know. My mom did get me for my birthday the Jessica Jones comic. I don't know if it's like a re-release of it or if it's the old, or if it's like a new one. I don't know. It's called Alias.
Yeah.
So it's in relation to the show, I know. I just don't know if it's old or new or whatever, but I'll get cracking on that because I really like that show.
It existed before the show, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I just didn't know if this was like a new Alias because it looks new. It's at least like a reprinting of it.
Oh.
Which is likely to happen, but yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen previews for that show, Angie Tribeca?
That's the one with Rashida Jones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's being written by Steve Carell and his wife. And they've said some stuff about it. Like, I haven't, like, listened to what he said about it. But it feels like, in seeing the commercials, it is, like, the world of Agent Michael Scarn. That's what it feels like. That
dumb, might have to check this show out.
Yeah, it looks like it. For the longest time, they kept running commercials, and I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be serious or funny. This is before they had said anything about who was writing it and whatnot. And it was like, I don't know, because they showed so little, and then recently they've showed some like longer commercials for it. And yeah, that's what it looks. That's what it feels like. And they're apparently the day it comes out, they're just running a 25-hour marathon and showing the entire season in one run. Which,
wait, on TV or
yeah,
is it like
on TV
Netflix?
On TBS. And I was like, that sounds kind of hilarious and awesome. So
that's pretty cool.
It's really interesting. Like, that's a really interesting way to do something. I said, fuck it, we recorded it all. Let's all show right. it. Anyway, continue.
Well, I think we can probably get into questions unless anyone else can remember some news stuff.
Nope.
Mm-mm. All right, here we go. So these are questions from a week ago when I asked about stuff, and then I think I went to Florida.
Hey, yeah. Listeners.
Hey, listeners from a week ago. Welcome.
Hi.
Prototype, do you believe that Holland and Cumberbatch will team up in the Doctor Strange movie? They announced that is that – what's his first name?
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. That's a – oh, wait. Tom Holland. That's a Spider-Man.
Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking of Hannibal, who's the Hannibal actor, who's also in Casino Royale.
He has a weird name. I'll never remember it.
Because he's in Doctor Strange 2. I think that got announced.
Is he the villain? Because
I think. It's this dude. Of course he's the villain. Look at him.
What if he was his quirky sidekick?
But
Holland was it? The producer or the the vice president or maybe president of Marvel. What's his name? Joe Quesada Jr., I believe. He tweeted a photo of him on the set of Doctor Strange with the director of Doctor Strange and with Tom Holland next to him. And that started a bunch of speculation of, oh my God, is Spider-Man going to be in Doctor Strange? And I'm going to say probably not. It's probably Tom Holland just visiting, just hanging out, because now he's part of the team. They're probably shooting Spider-Man right now or doing pre-production. So.
And of all movies to have Spider-Man in, Doctor Strange seems like a weird one.
Yeah. I mean, it's not unheard of. They've worked together, but I don't know.
It's comics. Everybody's worked together.
Yeah, and I don't think the introduction to Doctor Strange should have another. I know he's going to be introduced in Civil War, but I don't know. I don't think he needs to be in everything. I liked in Ant-Man where he had that brief, you know, Avengers cameo with Falcon. That was fine. So actually, you know what I'm actually looking forward to, which I wouldn't have been otherwise, is Thor 3, because apparently Thor 3 is going to be a buddy movie. It's going to be Thor and Hulk together. And it's just them. Like, all right, I could get behind that. I had no interest in Thor 3 at all, but now it's like, okay, let's see what they do. I like the idea of, like, you don't have to bring everybody in every fucking movie. Just, you can have buddy movies, you know?
Of, like, all the movies, like, Thor... Thor just has like a soft spot in my heart because I just assumed Thor was going to be so terrible. And then I saw that first one and I was like, you know, that was funny.
Yeah, it was all right.
That was cute.
Yeah.
And then the second one was not that.
You know, the problem with the second one is it's fucking boring. It's so boring. It's
everything.
And it looks awesome. Like, I can watch that on mute and be like, wow, great looking film, great looking effects. The what are they called? The dark elves. They look awesome, but goddamn, are they boring? That movie's like, I try to enjoy it, and you know, I think I need to just start it on the final action sequence, because that whenever I look at it, I'm like, wow, that was like actually really imaginative. Like, there's all these portals everywhere,
portals and the hammer going through them,
and cars and shit are flying through it, and it's insane. But like, when you try to sit through the whole movie, once you get to that point, you're worn out. It's happened to me 3 times, like in theaters, and then I tried to watch it twice at home. And I always get to the end, and I'm like, all right, I don't care. Like, But I think if I watch it by itself, I would enjoy it. But yeah, so that's what I think about Tom Holland and Doctor Strange.
And then it says Persona 5 or Final Fantasy 15. Persona 5.
Final Fantasy 15.
Oh my god, you're a monster.
No,
I don't care.
No, Ryan, you got to pick. You got to pick.
Like if I guess Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Because if Persona 3 was any indication, and what I've seen of Persona 4, I don't know, I may be wrong, but like, if it's just like very contained segments of game, where like, okay, now you're at school and you can talk to 4 or 5 people in the room and walk around, but like, it doesn't really feel like it. It's. I don't know. Like, it doesn't work for me. Like, I wish it was more. What's a good example? I don't know. I just feel like it was. If it were like an open world, I guess Bully, maybe? I don't know if you guys have played Bully, but like.
Nope.
Oh, you haven't?
Nope.
So imagine Grand Theft Auto. I've heard
good things, but.
Yeah, it's really great. Like, imagine instead of Grand Theft Auto, but instead of a gigantic, stupidly huge city with, you know, miles and miles of shit, it's just a school. It's just a school, and you can't leave campus. But like, there's all these hallways, and there's all this character, and like, there's kids that hang out around the dumpsters, and you can talk to everybody, and there's little quests and shit going on. Like, it's like a living world, and I wish that when you're at school in Persona, it was like that, rather than just very rigid. It's so rigid, and I think that's
very compartmentalized.
Yeah. Like, you have to, but just at random, your friend will say, hey, do you want to hang out after school today? And it's like, where is this coming from? Oh, and if you say no, then maybe they won't ask ever again. I don't know. Then relationship points go up 1 or 2. And like, okay. I don't know. Final Fantasy 15 looks like.
Do you think that game actually comes out this year?
Or no.
2016, I mean?
No. I don't know when that would come out. I don't know, maybe it will. Maybe holiday 2016. Who knows? It's a ways away.
Remember they were saying Persona 5 is coming out this year until like November. They held on to that and they're like, yeah.
When do you think Persona 5 will come out?
I think it's right now it's like April is the target, or like what they've said. I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like that is very unlikely.
Yeah, holiday 2016 maybe. Or like August.
Alright, what is your game of the year? We're gonna go over that next week or the week after.
Yeah.
Depends on my move. And all that stuff.
It may be Bloodborne. I mean, what? No, I don't know.
When do you think we will be able to choose our race in Fallout? Like, be a super mutant, ghoul, or synth? The next one? I feel like if somebody... I mean, maybe Obsidian does the next Fallout again? I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully they shake things up or make a spinoff.
Because, like, what I feel like the complaint I hear most like frequently about Fallout 4 is that it's Fallout 3. It's just, like, more Fallout. It's just not, like, huge evolution on it.
You can build a house.
My God, that's so bad.
We built a house. We bought a zoo.
We bought a Fallout.
We bought a Fallout.
Okay. Yeah, have you ever been able to do that in Fallout games? I guess Dylan would be the one to answer.
Build a house?
I think the answer's no, change race.
If you watched Monster Factory, you can change it to whatever you want. You can change people from people to vertebrates.
What's the next question? Do you think Spider-Man 2 and Ultimate Spider-Man will be available as PS2 classics with trophy support?
No.
Especially
because Activision no longer has the rights to those games. Disney would have to go out of their way to be like, all right, we're going to work with Activision and republish those. And that may happen, but it's unlikely. Disney has it, Ryan.
I think Disney's just totally fine only doing Disney Infinity.
I think that's what's happening, yeah.
Because, like, that just makes sense.
I mean, other than EA doing a lot of Star Wars stuff, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if they have some of those studios tackle some Marvel properties.
Man, when are we going to see the Visceral Games Star Wars game? That thing's been talked about for
that's going to be an E3.
3 years.
That's going to be an E3 like event this year, I'm sure.
Or I think if not then, I think EA for like Battlefront, they had like, I can't remember if it was an EA event or a Star Wars event, but there was like a lot of Battlefront stuff there, and that was after E3. So maybe it'll be there too, but I'm guessing we haven't seen anything of it just so it doesn't like compete with Star Wars Battlefront.
Sure. Yeah. And also like, with the wave that the Force Awakens has just unleashed, you know, like Star Wars is on everybody's mind, and I don't know. I think that will last. I think these movies are, or the Force Awakens comes out on Blu-ray around E3 time, so that would be good.
Maybe they'll do what District 9 did and have the package demo in with it.
I could see it. Yeah.
What was the last time that happened?
Never.
I feel like
District 9 had God of War, right?
God of War 3, yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, what a fucking weird combination.
It was a great demo, though.
It was.
Yeah. Great movie, too.
I'm looking at this on the browser instead of my phone, so it's taking longer to like keep track of where I'm at. Would you play a Marvel Ultimate Alliance game based on the MCU versions of the characters? Just don't even need to finish that question.
Dude.
Yes, I would.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance is such
so
fun.
Dumb.
It's really
that
dumb.
Game's so dumb.
Yeah, the second one was less good because it was better.
I played through that entire game, the first one, that entire game by myself.
Oh, no.
That was a mistake.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
No. Although, I mean, it's still a little funny, but not funny.
It's still real stupid.
Yeah. So the second one, like, is a higher quality game, and it suffers for it.
So the question was, would you play a Marvel Ultimate Alliance game based on the MCU versions of the characters?
Yeah, I'd play any Marvel Ultimate Alliance game. Yeah. For sure.
Anything.
I think that, so actually this is shit. This is something that I think I'm getting into in my video that I'm working on, but pretty sure. So Disney Infinity 2.0 had all these Marvel characters released, like every Marvel character almost, right? And then 3.0 has very, does it have any? I don't think there's any yet. Yeah, they haven't released any Marvel characters yet. But you know that, or we know that they have a MCU Captain America that's coming out with the Battlegrounds playset. And they said that there are other characters coming out, and you know, it was leaked, obviously, Ant-Man and Vision and Black Panther.
Can't believe Ant-Man's not out yet.
I know.
That's so weird.
It's crazy. But Ant-Man, Vision, and Black Panther are on the docket. But I think that, and I'm making a complete blind prediction here, but I think that that Captain America is a sign that they're actually going to re-release a lot of characters, but in their MCU form. So, like, Spider-Man probably isn't going to look the way that traditional Spider-Man looks. There's probably going to be some sort of difference, and I bet you they're going to put out a new figure.
He's just naked.
Yeah.
They wanted to avoid any costume controversy, So they just didn't give him a costume.
Well, and that's another thing is like the cap that they're releasing doesn't have his helmet on. So maybe that's what they're doing. Like if they release a Iron Man with Tony Stark's head, like with his helmet off, and a Spider-Man with his mask off, maybe that's what they do. And they look like they do in the movies. I don't know. But I think that that's where we're going. We're going to get re-releases of characters we've already gotten, but they look like they do in the movies. Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Who else is hyped for Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth, and what console you buy it on?
I don't know what that is. I know what a Digimon is.
Is that a game?
They are the champions, but of what? No one knows. But
they're the champions of being digital monsters.
Oh, okay.
They're going to change the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
I was like inches away from buying Dragon Ball Xenoverse yesterday with Surge.
Where are you now?
Because it's $16 right now. But I thought better of it because I have The Witcher and like four other things I actually want to play. I still have Nier to go through and I'm making mistakes buying games, but yeah, I don't nah. Not hyped for Digimon Story. I was a Pokemon kid.
Yeah
I was neither, but
you're a Pokemon man
from yeah. Fistful of Crafts, where do you think / hope the next Assassin's Creed goes, or do you wish for a break to finally figure out boss
there's
battles?
Some news that we didn't cover. The Michael Fassbender in costume.
Is Michael Fassbender supposed to be Altair?
No, I don't think so.
Is he like a new assassin?
He's a new assassin.
Okay.
And man, he looks like shit.
They've got like weird like
it's all bumpy
face paint, or like I don't know, not face paint. Like the girl's face is like bedazzled. Stuff. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, she could be any character. I'm not really worried about...
Don't you remember Bedazzle Face from the famous Assassin's Creed series?
That's my favorite Pokemon.
Uh-huh. Bedazzle Face. What's the ultimate form of Bedazzle Face?
Bedazzle Face EX, obviously.
Oh, well, that seems too simple.
But yeah, that screenshot didn't look great.
Well, there's several. I don't know if you
saw. Oh, I only saw that one.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I don't like his costume at all.
I forgot this
so wait,
was
they're
a thing.
They're making a movie?
Yeah. Ubisoft, like 3 years ago or so, like they said, you know what? We're not going to outsource. We're not going to license our product or our games out to.
We're going
to
do it ourselves, yeah. And we're going to do it right.
They've said basically that they want to do what Marvel did and make it internal. And so.
Right.
They had a TV show, didn't they?
I want to say yes. That sounds familiar.
Like, I never watched it, but I remember seeing that at, like, E3, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. It was never on TV, but yeah,
like an episodic
series. Yeah, and it was part of, like, hyping up Assassin's Creed 2, I think?
I don't
Or Brotherhood?
Remember. Or it was in between. It was before 3.
Yeah.
Because I think it was still Europe.
No, it was 2. No. Well, the one I'm thinking of, it was Ezio's father. You got to see Ezio's father's adventures, and then the game came out. That's what I remember, and that was live action.
Assassin's Creed. But if I was to pick a location, Seattle. Original Seattle before it burnt down.
I believe that was Second Son.
Second Son is after current Seattle burns down, because that looks nothing like Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't...
I think a feudal Japan setting could be cool,
or maybe like
the architecture style.
If you moved it forward, like go to like World War I or World War II.
Go to Total Recall Mars.
Yes. That one.
Fuck it.
The one that Gabe said.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool to see some World War II stuff.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the word on the street is that, like, Assassin's Creed is slowing down. Like, I feel like I heard that Syndicate didn't sell, like, super well. It definitely reviewed better than Unity, but... And, like, from what I hear, like, Syndicate's, like, pretty good. but I don't know, it feels like it's slowing down, so I don't want to say that next year will be the first year without an Assassin's Creed game, maybe, but maybe the year after.
I'm sure they have two in the pipeline already, so,
if they could move it to like an every other year thing, like they could probably make better games. Oh, there we go, Javi.
Sorry.
Get it.
Oh, God, why?
Just
hit the mute button on the microphone.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That big old red thing that's shining in your eyes right now.
Yeah.
Man, I'm trying to think of a good answer for this.
Yeah, I think World War II, like, either the Pacific Theater would be pretty cool. Actually, either one would, like Europe or Japan, like,
you know, and maybe they could go back and like revisit Middle East, like after the first game.
Yeah, or if you said it more like 90s Middle East.
Ooh.
Yeah, like Gulf War type shit.
Well, like, I don't know if it should take place during a war, like when people are, like armies are going at each other. Like Assassin's Creed's more about like espionage, isn't it?
Right, but you could be behind the scenes of the war.
Sure. Like
you wouldn't have, I mean, they did American Revolution, so like.
Yeah, true. With that
like,
in mind,
you don't have to be in, you know, on the front lines of the war. You're just, you know, in the shadows.
Yeah.
It's like they've kind of been like progressing forward in time, so that I don't know. Maybe they could go back again. I feel like if they were to go back in time, though, it would be like a smaller game or like an expansion.
Right.
They've just been like a steady trip up the timeline.
Yeah. I think that maybe a Cold War Russian spy kind of thing would be.
Yeah, like World War One Russia. That's what I'm going to say. Like Rasputin's there and shit and like.
Oh, like in Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the war mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. World War One Russia. I think that'd be cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
That is something I appreciate about the Assassin's Creed games, is that like the city is kind of like the character of that game.
Well, like
almost more so than
like,
the actual characters.
Like, you know, gameplay aside, all my gripes with how those games are designed, but like the settings are always beautiful and look great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, climbing to the tallest building in Assassin's Creed 2 and then like looking around, it's just like, damn, this is awesome. So mm-hmm. I was looking at screenshots for what's the new one?
Syndicate.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, that city looks real good. Like I wouldn't mind climbing around that. I've been eyeballing that game. If it ever goes down in price, it will. And I will grab it. Maybe.
And last question from Prototype. Ask Dylan how was his brief stay in Chicago.
Well,
that was me.
That was Gabe.
That was me.
And Dylan's not here, but good news, it was Gabe.
Dylan is currently stuck in Chicago. He doesn't know how to get out. Yeah, it was real frustrating being stuck there because I really just wanted to get back to Seattle. But luckily my dad had enough like Hilton points where he could like scrounge me up a room at the hotel that was like right next to the airport. And then I got there and John Wick was on HBO. And then Prototype said to order this pizza from a place called Giordano's, I think.
Giordano's,
yeah.
Yeah, I went there when I was in Chicago.
I got, it's called the Special Deep Dish. And I spent like $30 for it, but it was real good, and I was happy with that. So
yeah,
I think that might be the first time I've had deep dish.
They're actually supposed to be opening one of those in Houston. They're supposed to be bringing that chain here. Yeah. That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah, I enjoyed that quite a bit. So thank you for the recommendation, Prototype. Yeah, that is all the questions we got.
Ooh. All right.
Unless I'm missing one in this like cavalcade of nonsense that happened with the Star Wars episode.
Nah, I don't think so.
And Dave Lang getting all up in our grill.
Right. Dave Lang was in disbelief that Harris and Ty knew each other. Like when Ty retweeted something, he's like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
Harris and I are already drafting up signs for the PAX Rumble.
Yeah.
That was going to be funny good. Is Harris and Ty knew each other well before anybody knew who Dave Lang was.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
When Dave Lang was just a whisper.
Yeah.
I did in the podcast, in the Star Wars podcast, I did mention that Harris still is not the age that he said he was when he was writing the GameScoop game. He still has not reached the age of 22.
I thought he was 24.
Harris?
Yeah.
I thought he said he was 22. In the
game. Or in the game. In the GameScoop game.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He's coming up.
Yeah, he's getting coming. There.
That'll be a bigger celebration than his 21st.
Yeah.
All right, yes. Well, if you would like to find us, you can go to GameOverNation.com. You can find the Star Wars podcast there. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You should do that. You can find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/GameOverNation, YouTube.com/GameZeroVerNation, and you can find us on Twitter @GameOverNation. So with that, Javi.
Hey, you just listened to one episode of our podcast.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah. You won.
Congratulations. You can find much more at GameOverNation.com, as Ryan just said. Stay tuned for more podcasts next week and something else I'm working on.
Ooh.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Yeah. Bye.